I'm really excited about this interview because I've been hanging out with you for a couple days now, and I just think that you are a phenomenal human being. So I am currently in Florida City, Florida, near Redlands, near Homestead. And when about 3 days ago, I was told to go to Robert Is Here fruit stand, and I walked in and it was a cool place anyway. But then I got to go to the counter and I met this incredible woman. Her name is Nelly. And I was just asking about fruit and, you know, just what I could buy there that I hadn't had, just expecting somebody to just give me good customer service and say, hey, this is it. And instead, I gained an entirely new friend. Nelly took the time to tell me how to make the fruit or how to, what was it that I had? A compote? Sapote? Sapote?
Black sapote.
Black sapote. And then she took the time to give me her favorite milkshake, which if anybody ever goes to Robert Is Here fruit stand, you need to get the Nelly special because it is phenomenal. It's mango, pineapple, and passion fruit. Not too sweet, not too sour. It's just the right amount.
Exactly. The perfect refreshment drink.
Yes. And then she came out to the bus and participated in this project. And I recorded it on the phone, but I really feel like we need to do a better recording of this because your story is so intense and it's so deep. And I want it to sound perfect. Woman also reached back out to me, invited us to go to an alligator farm. And so I spent the whole day with her at an alligator farm on an airboat. Then she introduced me to another friend, and we just had a great meal, a great interview. But I would like everybody to know my friend Nelly Rodriguez. Did I say that right? Martinez. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that. I wrote it down as Rodriguez. Why did I do that?
Well, you are right also because I am Martinez Rodriguez.
Oh.
That's my second last name.
Okay.
My Martinez is from my father and Rodriguez from my mother.
Okay.
So you do it right. You do nothing
Nelly
wrong.
Martinez.
Martinez.
Okay. I don't know why it came up in my phone as Rodriguez. Anyway. Well, that was a big woohoo to... Sorry. So this is Nelly, and she is freaking awesome. And...
Thank you.
I want to... Basically, kind of the same thing that we were talking about the other day. I know that your story is very big, and I'd like you to just share how kind of your beginnings, how you got to the United States, the things that you have triumphed over. You have so much to tell and so much wisdom to share.
Oh, thank you for your previous words. It was very nice from you, very kind of the words you just said, how we met. For me, it was a privilege to meet you that afternoon. And I always say, God ride straight with crooked lines. And when he have a crooked line in my life, I always look, close my eyes on that crooked line and keep an eye on the straight line that is coming for me. Because that's what my life has been, straight lines. I always ignore the crooked lines and my downs, and I always suspect my ups. Talking about one of my stories is impossible because they are so long and they are so many. But to start from the words you just said, from your beginning, your first years, and then how you come to United States, I will say that I believe in karma. And when you have a few years, your first years actually grown as orphan of a father, the biggest part in the family, the stronger part of the family, the guide that directs you the stronger way, and mama the smooth and soft. I only have the mama's smooth and soft way to raise me. I was 2 years old, and we were rich when we were little. Mm-hmm. We were rich. My father was in the presidential at that 1948 when these guerrillas in Colombia, I'm not even from Colombia, South America, were born in Medellin. And the guerrillas, my father got killed. My godfather got killed. And of course, the president, which his name was Jorge Eliezer Gaitán, They titled this El Bogotazo. They have money at that time. We grew up at the first years, having a farm all with cafe. The first three colors are learned. It's funny because the green, the red, and the yellow was the three colors I first need to learn because they tied up a little metal can with a couple of strings in my waist. I was 5 years old then when I first started picking up coffee grains from coffee trees. My mother had 19 kids. I belonged to a big family, 19 kids, which I was the last one. And my mother, I guess because she was so busy having us kids, she don't know how to administrate the business, and she lost them pretty recently. So we start struggling for living, having some moments that I don't even know how we made it, but we made it. I just said about straight lines coming after crooked lines, and that's why I'm here. I grew up like that. I was a happy kid. There is many things that make you happy. Our toys were completely different than toys today's days and these younger people, which I would never even think. I wish I had those toys that today's people have. At my years, I was happy with my mud, little toys, and wood, little toys made for my brothers. So I was happy. But it was something in my life that I don't fit into the world. I know I don't fit into the same vicious circle I was growing in. Mm-hmm. Having a lot of kids like my sister did, following my mom's way to live, and I say words that for that I was the crazy kid at the house. And I knew, I got the feeling something was going to happen in my life to get out of that life. What, who, where, how, I don't know. But it happened. I was about, after many years, I'm in a very adventurous, used to be, and I am still at my age. I am an adventurer. I'm a challenger. I always dream to do something different every day. But of course, the life we were having at that time don't let me. I dreamed to be on a circus, on the trapeze, jumping, flying on the air, doing how many crazy things, I don't know, but it was very scandalous in my house for me to mention that. I was, you know, deserved to be dead. Instead, jump in one of those or whatever.
That's so funny. I had the same. I wanted to be in the circus so bad as a kid.
Really? I want to be. I remember one day, one of the smaller circus, of course, my town was one of the low-income people, more or less. And so they go over there, very economical to go. And I pleased my brothers and my mom to take me. And they just say, oh, no, you can't. We're not going to take you there. We know how you are. You start jumping and meeting people there. You don't need to meet that people and blah, blah, blah. So I forget about it. But then one day I was around 15, like I said, and I went to the store to buy the meat and the vegetables for the soup that day, and I escaped to the circus. Somebody ran to my house and let my brothers know and my mom, and they just went and threw a rope on me and dragged me out from that place, and they locked me in for a few months, which I was happy because I was resting. I don't have to go anywhere or do nothing. They want me to stay down and lay down. Okay, that's I'm going to be here. And one way, I learned how to be happy on my way. Mm-hmm. They thought that was going to bother me, that I was going to start crying. I enjoy it. And from there, I learned that you need to make happy moments from the unhappy moments. Mm-hmm. And when you learn to deal with the problems, there is no problem around you. I kind of get mature at a very early age. I don't want boyfriends. I don't want anybody to talk to me about love or be dating or anything. But I know somebody or somewhere, somehow, I need to get out of that life. dreaming to come to the United States, there was no way anybody can get up, especially from Colombia, South America, 1965, at all. Mm-hmm. I don't want boyfriends. I don't want anybody. We traveled to from one city, from Medellin to Pereira. My brother lives there. I met the guy. He lives in Cali. His sister lives there, and we met each other. We fall in love, love first bite. We got married, and he was one of the best mechanics in the world, diesel mechanic. And United States at those years, they have a big demand for that type of mechanics in United States. He have a visa, residence visa, to come to United States, which thing he hide from me. He never told me about it. And either the one I want to kill him when he told me, I still thank you after years. Thank you to him for not telling me. Mm-hmm. Because he knows, and I know that if he tells me we were going to get married, and 2 weeks he was flying to United States and leave me alone. At those times you get married and your husband leave you, that was the worst thing can happen to a señorita, right? Mm-hmm. So my mom was crying, all my sisters, everybody was, I'd say, it must be a reason. 5 months later, I came to United States, legally resident from my husband's papers. Mm-hmm. So you asked me how do I came to the United States. It was like an impossible dream, and it became this easy, very easy. When I don't even think about it, when I stop dreaming deeply that somebody, somehow, somewhere, was going to do it for me, to take me out. I don't know where and what's going to happen, but I know I don't fit in there. And I start at a very young age asking questions, very deep questions, that they call me the devil. So that's how I came to United States. Mm-hmm. Because all those dreams and those are questions that I ask, who's going to take me out of this life, came through. And I came to United States in 1965. Flying directly to Chicago, Illinois, with three words, very common words that I made it myself. No English, me Colombia, and me Chicago. Everybody asked me at the Miami airport, 1 a.m., where I was going. No English at all. Barely anybody speak Spanish at the airport at that time. So that's all I said. Me Colombia, me Chicago, and me no English. Finally made it to Chicago to start about 4 years of a very difficult life with no English, mm-hmm. of course, looking for a job until I found my first job like a year and a half later. And that's all because I demand that job. I demand it.
Yes. Please tell the story of that, because you told me that the other day, and it is
amazing. I was so angry inside, but I can't confront anybody about why I don't have money, why I don't have a job, why I can get a job. I don't understand, because I know I wouldn't learn anything they want me to learn, but nobody gave me the opportunity. So my first phrase I learned in English was help wanted. I see those signs on the doors of the business doors, but I don't know what that means until I ask a person what it says there and everywhere where I drive and go. And she said, they need people to work. Uh-huh. Everywhere I see it, help wanted, I walked in. Everybody, same question. Any experience? You speak English? No English, no experience. Me, no English, me, Colombia, hardworking. Hardworking, worky, 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 I keep saying that. And all the gringos went, what? Hello, what? I don't understand, what? And I get sick and tired. One day I saw the sign in my first job in Chicago, Illinois, which was very beautiful job, and I worked a few years, and I thank you, God, for that one, that I learned that help wanted, and I walk into that one. This very tall gringo, I'm a small person to begin with, so in front of me he was very tall. I see him like a giant in front of me, and I go, this is his size. What can he talk? What can he say to me now? So he asked me what I want, and I go, me, Lucky, worky, no English. Oh, he asked me, experience, English? No, nada. I keep saying nada. Something or somebody told me, ask for the translated. Somebody to translate your words. So I keep telling him, translator. And he keeps saying, what? What do you need? What do you want? I don't know what he's saying. Now I understand what he was saying. But he keep asking me, what? So I go, English, Spanish, talk. Oh, a translated person. Speak. He brought me a lady to translate my words, and my words were, tell him that when babies were born, they come out of the mama's belly. If mama doesn't grab the head and mouth and put it on her teeth, they don't even know how to suck and feed themselves. They need to be teach. Nobody's giving me the opportunity to have experience and time to learn the language they asking me to speak. The guy was kind of impressed with my words. I told the girl, and I look straight to her eyes, and I, in a very strong tone of my voice, I say, I want you to say it the way I'm saying it. I don't want you to switch. I know English is different than Spanish, but I want you to say exactly what I'm saying. And she did. Apparently she did, because the guy was very impressed with my words. And he stand up and touched his desk with his right hand. I like this little one. I like this little girl. Mm-hmm. Bring her an application. I kind of know for his attitude or his tone of voice that I was going to get the job. That I something on me that convinced him. And that's exactly what happened. So I get my first job with him. I told her, tell him if he give me the opportunity, probably sooner than what he thinks, I'd be in this office showing him my experience and my English. Tell him that. I promise. So she did. They hired me. I started, which was the most simple job in the world. The company's name was W.R. Brown Corporation. And I see that name and I go, oof, we're going to do here, who knows, cars, trains, airplanes with that name. Guys, you all want to know what it was? A little wooden boxes with blueprints for architects, folding and putting a rubber band on the roll, rolling like a tube, like a pipe. One ruler, one pencil, one eraser, one crayon, one little notebook, etc. That's what it was. Little hinges with two little screws and a little screwdriver for us to put the lid with the lacquers on it. That's all it was. Less than 3 months, I knock on the boss door with a broken ingress of clothes. It was a little broken, but I did it. I say, may I come in? And he looked, he lifted his head and looked at me and he goes, oh, are you Miss Nelly? How are you? And I go, I am very good. May I come in? I even put emphasis on my voice. And may I come in? He goes, yeah, that's, can I sit? Verily broke words out, because even without him asking me or saying anything, I give it all. So just to teach him a lesson, I was just ready to tell him I speak English and I have experience. So he says, how are you doing? I go, how am I doing? You asking? No. You telling me how am I doing? I'm asking now. And the end of the line, how many of my boxes are being rejected in this time for irregularities or something wrong or missing one or the other items? He says, not really, not that I know. He told me, I go, of course. Then here's my experience and my English. Thank you. Thank you for having me in your company. That was my first job, and continuous is in tremendously, tremendously big of a line of my story. But that was my first job and my first story, how I came to United States. And I thank you, American people, and I thank you, United States and the governments for let me be the person I am at the moment. I grew up hard way. Other jobs brought me another type of experiences. I became a welder, welding person. I used to work in Automatic Electric, which it was for Bell South Company. Mm-hmm. And I used to work for doing televisions and the Zenith. Remember the Zenith mm-hmm. brand?
Yeah.
Televisions and radio. Doing all the wiring inside. I have a blueprint on the wall, and we do the welding and everything. And then I moved to another company where we do the cylinders for gas companies.
Okay.
The lids of the big tanks. I became a welding. The mask was bigger than me. But I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I used to do heliarc, gas, and electric welding. It gave me a good money, good salary, and I enjoy it. I learn. I can never say why I do this or why I do that or what I have to do this. Mm-hmm. There was a reason for me to be there, because in that company, the third company with the gas tanks, that's when I met my second husband, because the first one I left blank.
Yeah.
What happened? When I came until I met my husband for 45 years.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was two different people. I thought it was the same one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Like I told you, there is always somebody or a reason or somehow mm-hmm. to take you from one side to the river. God uses either an angel or a bridge to cross you from one side of the river to the side you be safe mm-hmm. and where you belong to. You might be on this side of the river until here. That's your karma. Your karma need to be stopped and learn another better karma. That's when God works and God's hands and God's straight lines work with helping you with the bridge or an angel or somebody on earth mm-hmm. that keep the step for you. And that's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
Because my first 4 years were very tough with my first husband. Mm-hmm. And I have a kid with him. My psychological doctor told me, try to have a kid, maybe he changed.
Wait, and somebody told you that? Or you?
My doctor.
Okay.
Because I was having a lot of hard life.
Yeah.
That I need to go see a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, try to have a kid. Maybe he changed, maybe.
That's like the worst advice ever.
Right. And I did. I said, let's try to have a baby. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, well, of course, whatever. It was hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
I met my second husband when my baby was 7 months old.
Yeah. I mean, not to say that the regret of having a child, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I can't believe a doctor told you, here's how you fix that.
Well, at those years, it was a good idea. Today's mm-hmm. days, it's worse. It's worse. But at that time, many marriages were bad or something, and a kid bring the... put more together. And so I don't took it wrong, and I think I thought so that we should, and we did it. But what he was doing, he kept doing it anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I have... a little bit of consolation on my kid. I just keep all my pain between his body and my arms. I heal myself with his little body, and I was very mature. I'm a very mature person since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
They said when I was little, I do things that my mom was like, your sister don't do that, your brothers don't do that, why she do that? When I was 5, I think 15, and when I was 15, I think 30, and when I was 30, I think 50, and when I was 50, I think my age.
And now you're 75.
And I'm 75, I can see myself with 90s. And
oh, think I was going to say, more or less you're like you in your 30s.
No, no, yeah. More mature, you know.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened, and then I met my husband for 45 years. He's from Cuba. He was from Cuba. And we have if you tell me there was a perfect marriage, you're lying to me because there's no such a thing, mm-hmm. the perfect marriage. The perfect marriage is having good and bads, up and downs, sweet and sours, dark and light, but know how to handle mm-hmm. the situation. If you know how to deal with your problems, you can't call them a problem because you find the solution right away. And that was mainly my marriage was for 45 years. We have a problem as everybody else, but he was so smart, so spiritual, and so I am.
What was his name?
Roberto Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Poetry, book writer, very romantic, very spiritual, very, very religious, but not religious to be with the Bible and the church, like the first one. Mm-hmm. Bible and church 24/7. That's what I, today's day, don't even ask me what religion I am.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I loved how you explained religion the other day when we were talking, because you said it's the universe.
Yes.
And I loved how you phrased
that.
The
universe, yes.
Yeah.
God, I don't call him God. I don't call him, you'll king the king. So it's just the biggest universe architect. Él es el gran arquitecto del universo. He creates the maximum to the minimum. He creates everything his way. He gave it to us. He created us straight and right. We crooked on our way. Mm-hmm. He gave us a straight line. We get the crooked line. He give us the love, we give the hate. Mm-hmm. We hate, we don't know what, I hate you. That is no phrase to tell another person. Mm-hmm. And you hear that 100%, 24/7. So, what kind of religions are you? I don't have a religion. I don't have a church. I don't have one little building built by men. Mm-hmm. My church is the whole universe.
I love that.
And that's probably what you keep those words from the other day conversation. Because when I go to the hospital, I study a lot. These books you have here, I already visualize them from there. And I came and I pulled them out and read it. Mm-hmm. Read the titles. I knew it. I know what kind of literature you have there. Mm-hmm. Just
this one right here, behind me. It's behind me.
Right there.
Yeah. We're in opposite places. Right there. The other day.
I was looking at that, and I don't know if you noticed I moved here. Oh, you were standing there.
Oh.
You were standing there backwards, right this way. You don't see me. I went like this, everyone. And I read the titles. I know what kind of books you have there.
Yeah.
You know, metaphysic, right? Mm-hmm. All right. That's me. I am metaphysical.
Yeah.
I study a lot of the theosophical. Mm-hmm. Have you read about theosophia? Theosophical?
I don't think so.
Theosophical. Okay. That's the mother of all religions. Exactly. That's what theosophical is.
Is it philosophy?
No, it's
philosophical. Partner. Okay.
Partner, philosophia and theosophia, they work together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, I will have to look that up.
You can go to www.studyingtheosophical.com.
Okay.
My husband and me, we used to go to 14 lessons with the Enrique Renard teacher. He's on English too. Ask for Enrique Renard.
Okay.
Theosophical and www.studyingtheosophical.com. People ask what kind of religion, and I go, that's not a religion.
Yeah.
When we, when you go to the hospital very sick or something, they ask you your religion and everything. We go, Theosophical. They go, what? Yeah. Yeah, just write Theosophia. But that's not a religion. Oh, it is. Mm. It's the universal religion. Because it's only one branch. Religions are Catholic, Christian, Presbyterian, Methodist, El Rey Jesús, Cristo Rey. Why so many?
Right.
So, that's me.
Solid.
And when you know the answer, when people ask me some questions, they think I'm not going to be able to answer. At work, everybody says, Maminelli have the answer for every question.
Blush. Elegantly, you have it too. It's not just a simple answer. You very...
Plus.
Yes.
So, I tell people, sometimes I want to talk to everybody the same thing, but it's hard because not everybody is on the same level of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I believe. I have proofs that exist. And when people say there's no way, I put samples of situation on Earth with people. And then I ask them, why that? They can answer me. I go, I have the answer for you if you would ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between religions, going to a certain church every Sunday, that live in the whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
And try to see every single angle and universe.
Versus one narrow. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, the thing, I guess the thing with you and me is just we can even go to a serious interview like this. And it's funny because we jump from one thing to another, but you know why? Why this happened is specific? Because you haven't found the person like me. And I haven't found the person like you. I have millions of friends. Friends, best friends, too.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I always tell the people, no, my best friend, my best, but she do this to me, but. If your best friend have a butt,
mm-hmm.
if you have a butt between her and you, you and her, something's not right with the best friend.
Yeah. My best friend lives in Iowa, and we couldn't be more opposite. And we have been best friends since sophomore year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in her wedding. She was in my wedding. And then she married the guy she started dating in fifth grade. We're from a very small town. Like, we graduated with 36 people in our class.
Uh-huh.
She stayed in my same hometown. She married him. They have four kids. They still live there.
Oh, wow.
And she is happier. Like, she's super simple. Like, she has a flip phone, doesn't have Facebook, doesn't have
happy
Instagram.
Happy camper.
Yep.
Oh.
And then I was like, couldn't wait to get out of that town, hopped on a Greyhound bus, like, took off. And we both, like, were still best friends. We have very different political views. We have very different, like, small town,
yeah, you
big
don't
town.
Have to be, you don't
no.
need to see each other. You don't have to
no.
call her every day.
No. Nope.
But she knows you're there for her,
yes.
and you know she's there for you.
Yes. She,
I have one friend like that. It's amazing. But
yeah.
I have a lot of people, but from all the millions of people I know everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
Whoever doesn't know me in this town, they just move in.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Right.
Yes. So, but there is one out of five, and maybe not even the baby one, that you can talk some things,
right.
few things. They don't understand.
There's definitely, like, and there's some friends where, like, even the girl, I had a roommate for 4 years. 4 years we lived together. And, She's still, I would consider her one of my really good friends, but there's still stuff that she wouldn't even know about me, and we lived together for 4 years.
Yeah.
But she's like a sister to me, but it's like one of those, even probably my best friend doesn't know everything about me, but she knows pretty much everything. And then there's like, well, this friend is the person I tell this type of stuff to, and this friend is the person I tell this stuff to.
You know that you gotta be that way?
Yeah.
Yes. You gotta be that way. I gotta keep going too. I gotta work tomorrow early, first thing in the morning.
Well, what time does that open?
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we open. I'll be there probably 7:30. I'll be there.
Probably before I leave, I will come get another milkshake. I'm never going to be a skinny person, which I was in really good shape for a while. Like, I was, like, kick-ass muscular and stuff. And I want to get back to that life again. Mm-hmm. But I ran, like, 5 miles a day, so I would eat whatever. But I've always been, like, a chubbier person. That's how...
Oh, yeah, I can see your estructura. We call them in Spanish. Estructura? Estructura. The structure, the construction.
Yeah.
You are big building. You cannot be without cement. If you have a big frame, you need to put a lot of cement to hold it.
I probably over-cemented myself this last year. Just you're traveling.
And you're big.
Yeah, I've probably gained like 20 pounds just since being on the road. But I was like, I'm not going to say no to anything. If somebody's like, hey, try this. Okay. If somebody do this.
Just
see
the small portions. You can eat. I like I always said, everything in moderation, nothing in exaggeration.
Yes. If somebody says, hey, you want to go climb a mountain? I say yes to that, too.
Yes, climb a mountain. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You were wondering about my marriage, my last few years probably here in the United States. Annette, let me tell you what, the most happiest years I have, of course, after struggling all my life and in very many ways, I ended working on a very nice company for 43 years here in Florida. It's called Sunset Country and Western Wear, which is all country cloth, Western cloth, animal supplies and animals medicine, animal feed, all kind of animals. And there is one way you can stay so many years in one company. The one is when you love what you do. Mm-hmm. Not that you know what you're doing, but you love to do it. And when you love what you do, you're enjoying it. And when you enjoy it, you last. You last long because it's your second home. It's your therapy. You grow up in many ways. And I appreciate that job very much. But the time for my retirement came. And I decided to retire after 43 years from there, which I can't complain because I met thousands of people, I will say, thousands of people. Most of them very nice, very sweet. Some of them, like, sour people, one of those toxic once in a while. Yeah. But when you know how to handle, when you like customer service, you can convert a monster into an angel. So I have the ability to love my job because I know how to handle every characters and know how to introduce myself that the people take it right way. I enjoyed that job the many years and I retired just because I know everything from there and I know everybody and I know even if I retire, a lot of people have my phone number. That's one thing I've been doing all these years. My phone number has never been a private number. It's a number to be open there 24/7 for anybody needs help. I am an animal whisperer. I am an pet counselor.
Saw that in action today.
Right. pet counselor. No license, but knowing everything in veterinarian. And I know from out that job, I still can help people. And I've been out for almost 8 years, and I still have customers and people calling me for help, advices, giving them tips about medicine and stuff. Being off of my work, I stopped at Robert's here, where it's on my picture. I wrote where the picture was taken because I've been working there for 7 years already. And... again, I think earlier on my interview, I say something about the crooked lines for a straight line coming. And after many years and many times and many things happening in the fruit stand, about 3-4 days ago, something very nice happened in my life through that job. Sometimes you ask yourself, why am I working here? What am I doing this? What am I? It's always a reason. And I've been, these years, so happy because I met a lot of people through this job. I have friends that I don't even know them in person. they called to place an order for guanabana leaves, for guanabana fruit, which is very good for cancer. And they ordered it. They talked to me. I'm a survivor, and I am a testimony about that fruit, the medical properties. I have friends almost in all United States by the phone. But in person, I have met a lot of people. They take my name, my phone number. I keep their numbers, and we keep in touch each other. We send messages and everything. But 4 days ago, I met Annette.
Oh, I didn't know you were talking about me.
McNamara. McNamara.
Please butcher my last name since I butchered your last name at the beginning. There we go.
I met Annette, which is a very unique lady for me. And I met Annette at my work, which will be the only place I would have had that good chance to meet her. We became good friends. And I have a feeling that it's going to be not probably very close because her job is traveler all over the country, which is very good. A thing that I would like to do, and I never can, but the time will come probably. Who knows? If I be her roommate and travel it together. But Annette brought to my life the opportunity to remember many of my life, many things in my life, many of my stories, bring words that I will probably think that I will never say, that I never had said or said at all. And she gave me the inspiration of take a picture of me and talk about me and my life and my stories. And it's a honor, very, very, very special pleasure to meet Annette. And I met her through my other job. I was thinking not to work anymore, but the fruit stand owner knows me for many, many years, through the animals, through the medicines, through the veterinarian. And here we are. I'm working for Rabbit's Ear almost 7 years, and that bring me a different, new life, new people, new situations, new friends. And the last friend I met, it was just Annette, which I appreciate her help. I appreciate her picking up me for her professional work, which is professional photographer. And I'm not even a very photogenic, but she might show something on me that she got me on the pictures and wants a little bit of my histories and my life. And I appreciate Annette for giving me the opportunity of being somebody on another world that I never had before.
Well, thank you. It takes people like you being willing to participate in this for this project to mean so much. Like, if it's just me, it doesn't. That's one thing, and it doesn't go very far, but it's people's telling stories and connecting and then connecting thank to you. More and connecting. So thank you for being willing to come out to my bus to begin with. And thank you so much for today.
My pleasure. And thank you for these days. Fortunately, I have a little people that I know here in South Florida, and we have the opportunity to share that's beautiful moments like today. We share the alligator farm, which is a lot to learn and a lot to see and a lot to enjoy it. And I appreciate your time. You gave me a very wonderful time. Don't think I give you a good time. You brought me moments that I live by myself and I just work and instead of go work from home to work, I go work to bed to work. And that's my, in general, my life. And you brought me another expectativas that look the world in another angle and another happiness. Somebody else to talk about my deep things, because you can just talk everything to everybody because everybody won't understand.
Yeah.
So you brought me that
brightness
in my life. Thank you. Thank you again.
Oh, my God. I love you, lady. This is awesome.